It's on page Kuf Tzadiches.
Yes.
It says in the pasuk, "Make him dvar avdoi." Okay, Reish Chof Dal, make him dvar avdoi. Hashem establishes the word of his servant. Vatsas malachov yashlim. Hashem completes the counsel of his angels. What does this mean? Mystical ideas. Elyoinim maskimim ledas tachtoinim. We have a principle that in Shemayim there are decisions that are being made, and the advice is given from this world. In Shemayim, they need to make a decision. Should there be reward, punishment? Should there be a war? Should man suffer? So they call upon expert witnesses, and they call for counsel. Who do they consult with to make major decisions in heaven? And the answer is the people on this world. Okay, the people on this world, they control the shots, even in Shemayim. That's what Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid says, very advanced thinking, very, very gives men a lot of power. He was a Renaissance man. The study of Yehuda HaChassid, you know, they have to do some papers on him. His ideas are so advanced, give men so much chashivas. You see over and over, his ideas are very novel. And the time that he lived, he really doesn't fit into that time. He was really more like the modern Renaissance man. Here he goes. Ladas tachtainim kishel yoinim, he explains. Kishel yoinim oimim lekach vekach ru'i moysam. What we have in Shemayim, the malachim in Shemayim, they make a suggestion to Hashem that this and that should be done. Hashem says, Oimrim, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hamtinu ad shat tzadikim oimrim kocha. Okay, I hear what you want to say. I hear your plan. Let's see what the people on this world, what they have to say. Ulekach, lo hoya oimer shemua, mipi Rabbi Meir, ad sham moira Omar. They would not say a shmua report in the name of Rabbi Meir. He was a Tana. Ach Amoira Omar, and he gives an until an Amoira. Now, what does that mean? He explains, Rabbi Meir Rimoit Motza Toichal Ochal Kliposa Zarak. Rabbi Meir said he found the Rimoit, he ate the inside, and the shell he threw away. The Omar Hashtoka Omar Hal Vahaloi Hashtoka Omar, and now it was said. In other words. Rabbi Meir himself did not actually say this halacha. This halacha was said by an Amoira reporting upon what Rabbi Meir said. Rabbi Meir never said in the Mishnah that he found the rimoin and he ate the inside and he cast out the klipa. This observation was made by his student, an Amoira. The later generation is the one who made this observation. So why is that so? Let's see the parish. Let's see the parish on the side. Okay, let's see on the side. Reish Chav Dalet and page Kuf Tzadiches on the left side. Okay, page Kuf Tzadiches. Make him divar avdoi vatsas malachav yashlim kama elyoinim koshalei lomo loy omar bechad baba make him divar avdoi vatsas malachav. Why is this pasuk written in two parts? Why does it first say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he establishes the word of his servant, and the counsel of his angels does he complete? Why are there two sections? Ulegabe avodoi omar davar, question number two, why with regard to his servant does it say the devar? Uvemaloch of his angels omar v'atzas counsel. The lashon makim mashma miyad. Third question: the word makim means immediately. Miyad hu makim umilas yashlim mashmo lashon osid. It has the connotation not now in the future. The lama lo yamar mashlim shemashma o miyad mashlim. Okay, so we have three questions. Question number one is: why do we break up in this pasuk servants and angels? What's the significance of breaking them up into two parts? Number two, why, in regard to a servant, do we use the term devar, his word, And in regard to an angel, do we use the term his counsel? Number three, why by his servant does it say immediately make him? And by the angel, it says yashlim, which has a connotation, there is a delay. Umetaritz, to answer the three questions, v'omar, elyoinim maskimim ledas tachtoinim. The answer is there's a process. There are the elyoinim, which are the malochim, and there are the tachtoinim, which are the servants. Ulchein omar, make him divar avdoi. The first part of the pasuk is referring to the people on this world who are his servants, they're not malochim, and Hashem fulfills their wish immediately. Dehainu, kishat sadik shenikra avdoi, when a human being who is called an evet, oimer mipiv davar, when he says a word, boruhu sheyaskimu elyoinim shehin malochav. It's a given that in Shemayim, the angels will agree to what he says. V'zeh v'havei hadavar muskom me'elyoinim v'tachtoinim. And now there's a consensus between the elyoinim and the tachtoinim. V'alkein miyahu mekim. And that's why only now does the advice of the tachtoinim, of the elyoinim, come into fruition. In other words, the malachim make a suggestion. When they make a suggestion, it's only an eitzah. It's only an idea, counsel, advice. And if indeed Hashem will consider their advice, it's not going to happen right away. It's yashlim. It's going to take time until things channel, things go through the proper channels until it comes to be.
Malachim what? Independent thinkers?
It seems so. It seems the malachim, I don't know how malachim work. There are many different, one thing is for sure, there are different types of malachim. Many, many different types. And each type of malach has a different task and a different ability. Maybe there are some malachim which are creative, have ideas, and there are some malachim that are just there to follow orders. Does a malach have free will? We have contradictions. In some place we find they do have free will, in other place we find they do not have free will. Are malachim advocates or are they accusers? One thing we know for sure, there are many, many different types of angels. Mm-hmm. And you can find a type for every situation that you come that you encounter.
And the Avodim weren't exactly regular people. They were obviously elite.
Who?
The Avodim, people that were getting...
Yes, we're discussing over here, obviously tzaddikim, who we consider their word carries weight in heaven. So now we have already a much fuller appreciation of this pasuk. There's a process. In Shemayim, the malachim give advice. Hashem does not do what a malach is not in charge. A malach can give advice. That's why they're called malachim giving advice. It does not say the word mekim because Hashem does not immediately fulfill their wish. Hashem considers it. Yashlim has a connotation, it may indeed one day come to fruition, but not now. We first must consult with the people on this world, the avodim. Avodim are the tzaddikim. And the avodim, the tzaddikim, they hear the advice and they say a word, yes or no. If they say yes, then it goes into motion. It's now making, it's now established right away. So what the avodim originally was an advice and was waiting in suspension, will there be hashlama, will it come to fruition, yes or no? Now when the avodim say yes, it's now there is hakoma, it is established and it goes into motion. Ava. Next line of the parish, when the Elyoinim on their own do not yet have the consent of the Tachtonim, the Avodim, they give advice. Ve'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu makim miyad. Hashem does not fulfill immediately. Ela Oimer Hamtinu. Let's first wait and see what the Avodim have to say. Who are the Tzadikim? Ad Shatzadikim ulekach Omar va'atzas malachov yashlim l'shoin osid. That we've explained. וזהו שמסיים מקוסב לכן דיפור אבל חופץ שיסכימו אליונים ותחתונים למידס משפטות. Hashem has a desire that there should be a haskama. Hashem wants peace. Oiseh shalom bimroimov hu yaseh shalom oleinu. What does that mean? Simply means there are two different worlds. There's peace in heaven and peace on this world. In Shemayim, there's always fighting going on. You think there's only fighting in this world? Guess what? In Shemayim, there are wars going on as well. There's a whole world up there. No one knows. No one came back to tell us. But one thing we know, it's not so simple. It's not very peaceful up there. There are a lot of activities. A lot of activities taking place there. And the activities can bring about machlokes. Yet the Ribbono Shel Olam is the peacemaker in heaven.
What is the subject of the conflict?
Conflict? Should Trump be indicted? Should not be indicted?
You mean the fears on her?
What? Who knows? No one ever came back to tell us.
But you're saying.
It says in the Chazal, Oseh Shalom Bim Roimav. If Hashem has to intervene and make peace, it must be there's what to fight about. And there's fighting going on. There's a leak. I told you there's a leak in heaven between Gehenna and Gan Eden. The heat is leaking out. Who's going to fix it? Yeah?
I don't know what it is.
Didn't we learn a while back in the last Malachim, when Akash Gok was looking for eight sources whether they have Adam or not, and the Malachim who didn't agree with Akash.
That is correct.
They were
That's right, Hashem destroyed them. Right. Hashem obliterated them all the face of the earth. Shalom. You reminded me someone.
There was no component.
Someone I know recently, in Eretz Yisrael, he wrote this article that is so super. Super brilliant. It's not real. I have to show it to anyone once. I'll show it to anyone once. Is we have a friend who has a company who has software, design software. Basically, it's like Photoshop, but on a much larger scale. It's used to create websites. So this he was being honored, this fellow. So his friend who works in it's a very big company. The person who owns this company, it's his company. He was being honored. So his friend wrote an article describing the time of creation. Hashem comes in, it's like a make-believe medrash. Hashem comes in and says, okay, it's my desire to create man. That medrash that you're talking about. So this Malach Shalom says, don't create man. Because they're Kula Kitata. MS also says, don't make man. They're Kula Sheker. So this little article was, Hashem said to the Malachim, okay, what software should we use to design man? Should we use Photoshop? Should we use Dreamweaver? Should we use Quark? These are all the major programs they're using in design. Should we use this? And he goes through this whole conversation, this fictional conversation, the Malachim and Shemayim, no, don't use this. They're not ethical, the company is not ethical. Don't use this because it's bloated, Molagaiva. They go through every single piece of software that's out there because they're in the business. They know their competition. And then they say, but what about this software? The guy who's being honored, he's such a good person. He gives so much tzedakah and the company is so ethical and honest and this and that. And then Hashem says, that's right. And it was decided, all of the ministering angels of Google and Adobe, and it's just hilarious. It's two pages in utter detail describing, you have to be into tech to appreciate the Nuschois. It's super brilliant. So you write in the Shemayim, when they decided to create man, there was a big machlokes. If man should be created, there were malachim that said no, some said yes, and Hashem found a solution. Here we have something going on after the creation of man. And it says over here is Lukachama Ba'atsas Malachav Yashlub Lushan Osid, Vizel Shemasai Mchosav Lukach, Ella, Chavet Shiaskimu Elyonim Vitachtenim Midas Mishpatov. So let's review what I just said before. Is that in Shemayim? There is Machlokes. Hashem makes peace. Oseh Shalom Bim Roimav. And then it says, Hu Yaseh Shalom Aleinu. So simply that means that the same way Hashem has the ability to make peace in Shemayim, so too may Hashem intervene and make peace between us here on this earth. There is a lot of machlokes on earth between different parts of Klal Yisrael and between Klal Yisrael and the Umos HaOlam. That's a very simple understanding. The deeper understanding is Hashem should make peace between Shamayim and Aretz. In Shamayim, they want one thing, and we here on this world want something else. So I said, the one that makes peace in Shamayim, Hu Yaseh Shalom Aleinu, he should make peace upon us, meaning he should be able to make peace between us and Shamayim. we should be in sync with Shamayim. And to a degree, that's what Rabbi Yehuda Chos is discussing. And then he gives an example. He gives over here an example. To be maskim to an amoira. We don't find in heaven. So the question over here is, what are you talking about? How can you possibly say that in Shemayim they're going to agree? We don't find anywhere. No, we don't find anywhere in Shemayim that the Elyonim agree to what man says. It's the other way around. Let's read further. Ela mibnei shavadai yaskimu Elyonim l'tachtoinim kevon sh'omar amoyra dover zeh bevadai hu muskam gam me'elyonim. It's certainly muskam to the Elyonim. Now here's he's coming to explain, and I borrow from the Gemara. In the Gemara, we find that the Amoroyim are reporting things about the Tanoim. Rabbi Meir, there's a question. What's the question? What's the topic of discussion? Are you allowed to learn from a person who is a questionable apikoiris? Okay, are you allowed? Are you allowed to go? There's a person who's a brilliant, brilliant individual. He has a vast amount of Torah knowledge. But he has, you know, he's also a shtickle apikoiris. A little bit of apikoiris. What did Rabbi Fran say at the Sima Shas, which only has been repeated about a billion times throughout the world? Don't let perfection be the enemy of good. So no one is perfect. Don't reject something because it's not perfect. You have something that's not perfect. Seek out the good. Do the best you can. So as an extension of that principle, we have a person who is 95% authentic and 5% of him is a fraud. So Rabbi Meir was of the opinion it's worthy to be his student. Sit at his table and listen to everything he has to say. Absorb the good. Oh, but in the process, he's also going to give over words of apikorsis, kefira. So that, throw away.
Shifted.
You have to have enough seichel to take the good and to reject the psoilus. Rabbi Meir, ochal, he found a remind referring to Acher. Acher's name was Elisha ben Avuya. He found a remind. He ate the toichoi, the panemius, and the klipa, the nonsense, the apikorsis, he threw away. Today, by the way, this is not a very popular approach, but in those days, the mayor did accept this approach. He would study by people who today people would not study by. He went and he studied by brilliant people who were a shtickel off the derech, whatever that means, a small amount, because Rabbi Meir had the koichos to take the good and to discard the nonsense.
You have to be able to differentiate.
Right. You need to be on that level. Today, we're not on that level. So that's why today it's a different story. But Rabbi Meir was on that level. He was able to take the good and discard the nonsense. Now, did Rabbi Meir ever make the statement? How do we even know that this approach is valid? Did Rabbi Meir ever make that statement? Rabbi Meir taught a lot of things. There are a lot of things in the Mishnayos Rabbi Meir says. Every Mishnah has another Rabbi Meir. But he never said this. He never said his Ashkafa that you should eat the toich, the inside, and discard the psoilas. We only know this to be correct from his student, from the Amoira. Now the Amoira is a shadow, is a skeleton relative to the greatness of Rabbi Meir. And yet this was only revealed through the student. So Rabbi Yehuda Chosid is saying, I'm making a suggestion that in Shemayim they have suggestions, and the one that rubber stamps it are the people on this earth. That's ridiculous. Where do we ever have, who's greater? Who is greater, man or earth or heaven? You could argue that point, but basically in Shemayim, there's a clarity that you do not have on this world. In Shemayim, they are within the mechitzos of Hashem. So just because that we only find, what do we find in this? We find decisions being made only in this world. Did you ever get a report, open up the newspaper, and see that yesterday in Shemayim, they decided the following halacha. They decided the following issue. In Shemayim, in the Pamal Yishol Maila, there was a session, and there was a debate, there was an issue, and this was suggested, this was the suggestion, and this was decided. You're not going to find anywhere a report of what took place in the Beis Din Shel Maila. But you will open up the newspaper and read that the Beis Din Shel Mata had a debate. Is it osur? Is it mutter? Is this new type of bird, is it kosher? Is it not kosher? Yeah, Yolada, this new type of technology, can you use it on Shabbos? Can you not use it on Shabbos? Is this idea, is this correct, a proper hashkafa in Yadus or not? You will open up the newspaper and find that the Bez and Shalmata are discussing very important matters and are making very important decisions that affect people, their daily lives. Along with Rabbi Nachman, he says an incredible insight. He says that you should know that any time you open up a newspaper and you read that the Bez and Shalmata made a very major decision that affects people's lives, it originated in heaven. In Shemayim, they were debating this matter. Should every single Orthodox Jew have a prenuptial? Big debate today. It's a big new thing today. Should every Orthodox Jew have a prenuptial? Big debate. So you know where that you're not going to read in the newspaper that in Shemayim they're having this debate. You're not going to read about it. But you will read about it in FJJ. Or you will, in the Ateg, you'll read about they're debating this issue. And it's going to come a point in time when there's going to be a decision handed down, and either one way or another. That's right. Every single boy and girl gets married should not get married unless they have a prenuptial. And all of the Russia yeshiva who are part of the vad of the yeshivas, of the mainstream yeshivas, will be warned, don't mess around with our decision, with the consensus of the Gedolei Yisrael. Do not be Mesader Kedushin until you verify that the Chasna and Kala have a prenuptial. And if they don't, then you make the prenuptial. We're giving you a harsh warning. You're going to read about this in the newspapers, but you're not going to hear a report online that this was what they were discussing in Shemayim. So along comes Rabbi Yehuda HaChas, and he says, guess what? Any major thing that happens in this world originated in Shemayim. And in Shemayim, there was an intense debate. They did not make the final decision. They suggested this should be done. And the one that put it into motion is the Beis Din Shel Mata. Oh, you'll say, but if that's the case, so how come we don't have any report in the newspaper that it was the Beis Din Shel Maila that suggested the prenuptial? Even these examples made this suggestion. Well, I'll tell you, look, it's no worse than the Mishnayos. Look in your own Mishnayos. Rabbi Meir was the one who ate the inside of the Rimon and discarded the Psoilas. Does it say anywhere Rabbi Meir is the one who did this? No. The one who told us that this is the case was his student, the lesser. Rabbi Meir is being compared to Shemayim, and his student is being compared to Beis Din Shel Mata. And just like in the Mishnah, the credit to this concept is taught to us by the student, who is equivalent to the Beis Din Shel Mata, so too you should know that when you hear halacha being decided, it's being decided, it's getting the credit is being given to the Beis Din Shel Mata. But don't fool yourself. Major halachic decisions that are happening in this world were preceded with the idea, the seed for that idea and the suggestion first began in the Beis Din Shel Maila. Wow, who would ever dream of saying something like this? But that's really what he's saying over here. He goes, yeah.
That is a dispute. About the ovens, and they say the halacha is like on the ground.
Okay, that's another. So that discussion is where there's a disagreement. Okay, in a chanami. All right, so the case that we discussed, I was a little bit misleading.
It would be enhancing this.
Well, no, but that's even greater than this. Here, we're discussing something even simpler, where there is no disagreement. The case that you're citing is where the Bezin Shalmata is making a decision against the Bezin Shalmaila. The Bezin Shalmaila made a suggestion it should be Osur. And now that trickled down to the Bezin Shalmata, and their conclusion was, we disagree with you. We disagree with you. So in this case, it's they agree. They agree. Because how do you know they agree? Because here it says council, Eitza. Maybe not. Maybe Eitza just means one way or another. In Shemayim, there is discussion. Maybe it would be a good idea there should be a prenup. Maybe, yeah, maybe no. Maybe no. That discussion in heaven is what triggered a thought in the mind of a person to go knock on the doors of all of the Rosh Yeshiva and say, no, maybe it's not such a bad idea. You know what they all said? It's a great idea, because Rachman al-Islam, I have a grandchild that would have had he had a prenup, it would have been a different story. And therefore, yes, it's a great idea. I know firsthand. That's exactly what happened. Because all the people that signed on, unfortunately, have firsthand experience in their own family that it would be a great idea. So where did the idea start from? Rabbi Yehuda Chas is telling us, don't be fooled. The idea was suggested in Shamayim. And then someone in this world picked up on it and went around and knocked on people's doors, and there was a discussion and a vote is taken, and then it goes into motion. And when you read in the newspaper, a decision was made, they'll never give credit to where it really started from. It really started from the angels in heaven giving this idea, planting this idea in the minds of human beings, because that's the process. And that's and just like we find in the Mishnayos, yeah. That's how he reads around the Pasuk. He reads around the Pasuk at the end. We have to read it backwards. It starts off with first. You have to read it backwards. That never held us back, reading it backwards. That never held us back. You have to read the Pasuk backwards. It starts off with the Atzas Malachov Yashlim. Will ultimately will come to fruition. How? The process is send it down to the lower courts on this world, the Bez and Shalmata, let them have a discussion, let them render a decision, and then make him Dvar Avdoi. And then what the people on this world want, that's what's going to happen. But that principle, I think, is a little bit different, because that principle is going where the Shemaim is not even involved to begin with. There, a tzaddik just says, I want something. In Shemayim, they're caught off guard. They're not even involved in the discussion. Tzadik Goyzer, V'Hashem Mekayim, appears to be where Shemayim, there's no discussion. For his example, Ablazer's example, is going where in Shemayim, they want it to be Osur, and we decide Mutar. We have really three different examples. The example given here in this, of the Rila Chas, is going where in Shemayim, they want something to be done. Hashem says, it's a great idea, but you're not in charge. Let's send it down to the people down on the earth. And then on people on the earth, they deliberate. All of a sudden, they start thinking, things are happening, and they come to a decision. And then they make a decision. And the decision happens to be what in Shemayim they actually wanted. That's this pasuk. Then there's another example of where in Shemayim and Aretz, there's a disagreement. Shemayim wants one way, and the Bez and Shalmata wants the opposite. Ultimately, who wins? Bez and Shalmata wins. That's where it's conflict. And then there's another principle, is where in Shemayim, they're sleeping. They're not involved in the discussion. They're out to lunch. And while they're out to lunch, a tzaddik on this world knocks on the door and says, you know, I need a favor. Can you please do this for me? I'm sorry, the Bez and Shalmaila is out for lunch. So who needs them? You can give it to me without them. Okay, fine, here it is. Don't tell them. That's Tzadik Goizer V'Hashem Mekayim. You can skip. Choni Amagel. He told Hashem. That's whatever. I'm not walking out of it until you do what I want. Forget about the Bezen Shalmata. Let's talk direct. That's what he's saying over here. V'haloi, let's finish up this paragraph. V'haloi kol golui v'yadu l'fanav elo chafetz Hashem desires sheyaskimu elyoinim v'tachtein l'midas mishpatav. Hashem likes it when it goes this way. Because when man flexes his muscles too much, then in Shemayim they get jealous. In Shemayim they were very depressed when, talk about depression today, when Hashem gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu. Because basically Hashem took away the power, took away control of the Torah from heaven and gave it to man. In Shemayim, it did not go off well. So when a new halacha has to be decided, Hashem very much wants everyone should participate, should feel they're part of the process, so everyone feels good. Because if we're going to leave Shemayim out of the decision, there's going to be strife. There's going to be bad feeling. So it says, "Lechavet sheyaskimu elyoinim v'tachtoinim l'midas mishpatav." That Hashem wants there should be an agreement. Shenemar leman titztak bidov recha tiske b'shoftecha. Hashem should be righteous in your words and should be merit in His judgment. MS, that's one pasuk. So Hashem, this expression means titztak, the words, I guess, of man. I'm assuming this means over here to mean that the Devarim goes back on the Bezin Shalmata, and the Bishoftecha is the Bezin Shalmata. The Mishpat is the Mishpat of Hashem. Another pasuk, MS, may Eretz titzmach, MS sprouts forth from the earth. V'tzedek mishamayim nishkaf. Tzedek looks down from heaven. There is peace. There is unity between the earth and Shamayim. Kisha Adam tzadik v'don din emes lamitay umechapes eze mida toiva ro'oy la'asoyis ritzonay mida b'mida shemechavein l'das v'el yoinim. There is a linking up. They're in sync. Chesed, another pasuk he quotes, is chemes v'emes Nifgashu, they met one another. Tzedek v'shalom noshaku, they kissed one another. Chesed is this world, Emes is Shemayim, Tzedek is this world, Shalom is Shemayim. And these two examples we find over here, the mixing, the mingling of earth and heaven. You get really four pesukim which touch upon this theme of combining, making peace between heaven and earth. So this is a very fascinating insight. It's teaching us over here Kabbalah. We're learning a Kabbalah, in Yoni Kabbalah, of how things work. Everything that happens on this world appears to first percolate to begin in the other world. And that's by design, because Hashem wants there to be peace between this world and the Olam HaEmes. We do not know what's going on over there, but it does appear from all the different things that we study, there's a lot of activity going on there. And there's a lot of strife, a lot of conflict, and Hashem is able to make peace up there, but it's even a greater feat of Hashem to be able to make peace between what's going on in Shemayim to what's going on here down on this world, to sync. Today we can appreciate what this means. Today, every gadget that you have, you sync up. Right, Hashem is giving us all of this all of technology today. It's mamish yisoidos of Kabbalah, and Hashem has given us this technology in Yitzhak the Mashiach to make us appreciate concepts that really be very hard to really very hard for the average man to comprehend. Everyone today could appreciate what it means to sync. I have a device. My device over here is synced up with my device at home. Every website I go to over here is saved. When I go home, it's saved over there. It's whatever I do at home is automatically synced up on this device. And you can sync up all of your devices. That is a Kabbalistic principle.
You are at the same time in different places.
Same time, different places. That's what this is. There's the host and there's the client. the Shamayim is the host, and we're the client. We're down here on this world. All of this technology is to open up our minds to a greater degree of spirituality that we probably would not be able to fully comprehend unless Hashem gave this to us in these physical principles on this world, which we live with every single day. Ayin, who doesn't appreciate what it means? Ayin, Roye, Ve'oizen, Shamas in this generation. Who doesn't live with it? Everyone knows that wherever you walk, there's no such thing as privacy. Years ago, privacy. You go into the basement, privacy, no one knows. Today, privacy. There's no such thing as privacy. Ridiculous. Every phone conversation is recorded. Everywhere you go, you're recorded. You live with this. It's so much easier to channel Ayin Roye Ve'oizen Shamas to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a piece of cake. What's the big deal? It's obvious. It's obvious. Years ago, it wasn't obvious. Years ago, they had other advantages. They had Pacha, they had Yira. Rav Moshe Feinstein lived with Yira Shemayim. He said, why? Because he knows what Yira is. Because when they took him, the KGB took him to the police station to interrogate him, he saw his life right before him. He knew what it meant. The next second, you're dead. He had Yira. So he had Yira. It was very easy to channel that Yira to Hashem. Today, no one's afraid of anything. No one's afraid of the police station. No one's afraid of anything. There's no Yira. It's very hard to channel Yira to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But Hashem compensated. Hashem gave us things today that our ancestors had no clue of. And one simple example is a person living today, the principle of Ayin Roye Ve'oizen Shamas is infinitely more tangible than our ancestors of 100 years ago. So you're going to say that we're weaklings today? Are you going to say that today we're a lowly generation? Chas v'shalom. How could you say that? We know what it means. Ayin Roye Ve'oizen Shamas. There's nothing to talk about. Everyone knows what that means. Years ago, no one knew what that meant. You had to really make believe, go to fantasy land to make believe what it means. Ayin Roye Ve'oizen Shamas. We have disadvantages. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not here to go and make trouble. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He has given us in our generation unimaginable gifts. It's not correct to say we're going lower and lower. Shmuel Orbach. So one of his big things he would say is that nowhere does it say in Chazal that Yeridus Hadoros. There's a mitzvah of Yeridus Hadoros. Every generation has to go lower. If you're learning too much Gemara, better stop, because you might know more than your father. Right? If you learn too much, you got to stop. Niskadnu Hadoros. Every generation has to be lowlier than the previous generation. It doesn't say that. It's not part of the Tayag mitzvahs that there has to be Niskadnu Hadoros. If you're able to become greater than the previous generation, go for it. Strive to raise yourself higher than the previous generations. And in fact, there are elements in each generation that indeed we are greater than the previous generations. There has to be. Hashem is is not coming to make trouble. It's not going to do. We're going to take a short break, and then I want to talk about tefillin. This week's parasha is about 21. So very.